This is John Walden again with our studies in the book of Hebrews. We've reached chapter 7. Already we've talked a little bit about Melchizedek, and perhaps you ought to go back and read the 14th chapter of Genesis and get acquainted with this character. This was an actual person, not an incarnation, not a figure, but a real person called Melchizedek, who was king of Salem. He is also called the king of righteousness. That's what Melchizedek means in the Hebrew language. Now this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, that is, interpreting his name. Melech is the Hebrew name for king, and Tzedek is righteousness. So Melchizedek means the king of righteousness. And after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And that's the order, too, in the New Testament. Righteousness first, then peace. If you haven't been made right with God, if you haven't had the righteousness of God imputed to you in Christ, you can't have any real peace. Because you can never have peace without your own righteousness and your own actions. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight, we're told in the 64th of Isaiah. Now he refers to this man as being without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now this, of course, doesn't mean that he had no father nor mother, but simply that there's no record. And the record is left out of the Old Testament purposely, so that he could be what we call a type or a picture of the Lord Jesus. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is God's high priest for this dispensation. When we talk about the priesthood of Christ, try not to think about any kind of modern priesthoods, but remember the Old Testament order under Aaron. Aaron was made a high priest, but the Aaronic priesthood failed. It failed chiefly because Aaron was just a human being and he died. Then his son followed him and he died. And one after another, these priests have died. And oftentimes they were succeeded by sons who were nowhere near as godly as their fathers. And so the priesthood of Aaron was a changing and a failing priesthood. Now the subject of the 7th chapter of Hebrews is then the superiority of Christ's priesthood. Remember that the Lord Jesus did his first act as a priest in offering himself without spot to God. Don't bring any other sacrifice to God for your sins. Don't insult the Lord Jesus and his finished work by trying to bring something that you have done or something that has been done to you or for you. Don't bring something like that and say, I think that God ought to accept me for the sake of this. But remember that the Lord Jesus offered one sacrifice for sins. And when he did so, he forever sat down on the right hand of God, showing that his work was done. Now the first 10 verses then of Hebrews 7 show that Christ's priesthood is superior because it is of a higher order. And the argument here is that the sons of Levi, that would be the tribe from which the priesthood of Aaron came, that the sons of Levi really paid tithes to Melchizedek because they are the descendants of Abraham. What their father Abraham did, he did as representing his family. And he paid tithes of all of his gains to Melchizedek. Now, in the Jewish mind, this would have a very great weight. It would show that that Melchizedek was superior even to Levi and the Aaronic priesthood. Then in verses 11 to 19, he shows that the priesthood of Christ is more efficacious. It produced more. He says in verse 11, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need would there be that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek? And here he's quoting from the Old Testament, where the Lord was said in the 110th Psalm to be a priest. God said, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, what was wrong with the Aaronic priesthood? Well, he goes on to say, the priesthood being changed, there is of necessity a change also of the law, for he of whom these things are spoken pertain to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. So the Lord Jesus' priesthood is a better priesthood because it's more efficacious. And in verses 20 to 22, it's more firmly established. It was established by a better covenant. God made him a priest. He didn't just inherit it. The Father gave him that privilege. And then in verses 23 to 25, we see that it is of longer duration. He says here, they truly, the Old Testament priests, they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Do you have a representative at the right hand of God? Is there somebody in heaven who is taking care of your affairs? Is there somebody there who can speak for you? Well, if you trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior, that's exactly what you receive. He will be your representative. He will be your high priest in the presence of God. And he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. It's wonderful to have a man to represent you in Congress, if he really does it. It's wonderful to have a man to represent you in court when you need it. It's wonderful to have a man to represent you in another city, if your business has a branch there. But how much more wonderful to have someone to represent you in the presence of God. Now, the Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. Chronologically, he can save to the uttermost because he saves eternally. I wouldn't give you very much for salvation that's temporary, but the kind I read about in the New Testament is permanent. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And then he's able to save to the uttermost as to individuals, whatever the personality, whatever the individual. Don't think that your case is too hard for the Lord. Don't think that you're too difficult. Don't think that you're too bad to be saved. The chief of sinners is already in heaven, according to 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, Paul says. And the Holy Spirit of God put that down in the Bible for our encouragement. And then he is able to save completely, to the uttermost of your being, spirit, soul, and body. Well, one of these days our bodies are going to be changed and made like his own. Won't that be wonderful? Some of you perhaps are sick and aged and infirm. Won't it be wonderful to have your body saved? The Lord Jesus is able to save to the uttermost. For such an high priest became us, verse 26 says, that is, he was suited to us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. Someone has said that he was holy in his birth, harmless in his life, undefiled in his death, separate from sinners in his burial, and made higher than the heavens in his ascension. This is our high priest, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifices, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once when he offered up himself. Once was enough. The Lord Jesus does not need to be offered up as a sacrifice on any earthly altar every morning or every year He did this once when he offered them for himself. For the law made men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, that is God's solemn promise, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. So in this chapter we find that he has the power of an endless life, that he's a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, that he continueth forever, he is a priest forever, he ever liveth to make intercession for us, and he is consecrated forevermore. Isn't it nice to have an eternal Savior who wrought for us an eternal salvation so that we can eternally share his home and praise him for it. So in this chapter we see that the Lord Jesus is the high priest that finished the work that saves and is finishing the work that keeps. The finished work of Christ on the cross and the unfinished work of Christ now at the right hand of God is all that we need to keep us safely. We're not keeping ourselves. Some people say, well, it's all right, the Lord saves you, but now it's up to you. Well, how long could you keep yourself? No one could keep himself. And God knew that. And so he gave us a high priest who is interested in us, who cares for us. And just as Melchizedek met Abraham in the story in the 14th of Genesis, and fed him with bread and wine, so the Lord feeds our souls. And then he revealed God to him, and so the Lord Jesus, our high priest, reveals God to us. And then he blessed him, and so the Lord Jesus blesses his people who come to him day by day to find him to be a priest that becomes us, who suits us exactly. Our blessed Lord Jesus, we thank thee that thou hast suffered and died in our place and risen again. And we thank thee that thou art our high priest. And we pray that those who are listening to us now will trust thee and help us who know thee to trust thee more. We pray in the name that is above every name. Amen.